The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Little bit croaky,
little bit croaky, little bit snotty,
little bit sinusy.
Yeah.
There's no snot coming out now. You're all
right. Oh, is it not?
Yeah. Okay. I've got it under control.
Good. We've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson a little while ago, I must admit, but catching up with him today.
Yeah,
so,
a lot.
And she says there's some great little nuggets of wisdom from Ivan there. That's from the interview we had earlier with Ivan Meisner, the founder of BNI. Agree that giving without wanting or asking for anything in return can bring you joy and returns later in unexpected ways. It may not be financial, though. I measure success very differently. To me, it's feeling of making a difference. Couldn't agree more, Tracy. You know, it's some people pursue wealth for the sake of pursuing wealth, but in my experience, if you do stuff and you do stuff with honesty and integrity, kind of, you know, rewards come anyway. Listener, you got to see this. It was hilarious. She coughed and her headphones fell off.
The worst time once when I tried to stifle a sneeze. I can remember that. My headphones do fly off because they're too big, aren't they?
Yeah, well,
and bouncy. I was just, I think I swallowed the wrong way.
Right.
Booker Wyatt, big hello to them. They've just perked up on the Twitter.
The lovely Catherine, yeah.
Yeah, hello to you. Deborah Turner, have you read her?
No, I haven't. Go for it.
So hello to you. That's she's deborahturnerlimited.com. So hello to you, listening in.
Mm-hmm. We got lots of gifts with frogs in. I think Amanda started that, didn't she?
Yeah, it's my froggy throat. They're all finding hilarious.
And Neville's sending you your own tweets. You've got a little ginger boy blowing your kisses here.
Yeah, I think he's got the wrong kind of ginger though, don't you?
Yeah.
Ginger.
Oh, and you've linked me with the fundraiser for... Athelbrae.
I've been quite diligent, really, for someone
on the deathbed. You've been working, haven't you, while I've been yakkering?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Neville thinks you're nuts.
DG East, did you see them? They've delivered a new Ford Transit 350 beaver tail conversion. No idea what that is.
There's a picture of it.
I'm going to have a look in a minute, but I'm reading. I can't look at the picture.
All right.
Delivered on contract hire to a long-standing customer. So let's have a look. Beaver tail. Oh, it's a very smart van. It's got kind of, I would say, it's got kind of a snub nose, actually.
Uh-huh.
But we can't really see its tail, can we?
No, you can't.
In the photo.
But I bet it's a beaver tail.
I reckon it is. Thrashing.
Do you think?
Thrashing and probably flat. And lots of people are laughing about me feeding you chili.
Chili is nothing. I love spicy hot stuff. But she gave me this pot of stuff from the Wuhan wet market. Yeah. That's where it came from, and it was just a pot, and it was just a random pot they put this stuff in, and it just looked like chopped bits of pepper and stuff. And she went, that's a bit of chili from China.
So you took a great big tablespoon.
She gave me a tablespoon for it while I was on air, and I put it in my mouth and it blew my head off.
You went purple.
I couldn't speak for about an hour. Which was the intention.
Yeah. I managed to say everything, you know, that I needed to get into the show.
The thing is, though, since I've eaten that, and that must have been about 3 years ago, yeah.
You haven't recovered?
No, since I've eaten that, I'm immune to everything.
Even COVID.
Well, it's from the same place, from the Wuhan market.
Yeah.
You bought that in the Wuhan market, didn't you?
It was very, very hot.
You bought that chili in Wuhan. Yeah. I know you did, didn't you?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah. So I've been immune to everything since I've eaten that.
Other chilies are available.
Yeah, but not as hot.
I don't know how they can... But you still use that, don't you? It's about 3 years old. Don't you still put it in curries?
I finished it ages ago. I did like it. You had to be careful with it.
Just not raw.
Just not by the teaspoonful.
My lips can puff up. I had some chili olives the other day and my bottom lip puffs up now, which is quite good. It's better than Botox, the trout pout.
At
my age, you take what you can. Collector's Buddy Virtual has said, thank you for my shout out. What lovely manners.
That's Martin, and he's doing such a fantastic job. He's trying really hard to raise funds for local charities, so give him some support, follow him on the Twitter and help him where you can.
And there's a 16-storey Ashford Shard scheme in... God, this is the second beaver significance on the show. So it's the 16-storey Ashford Shard scheme in Beaver Road. Look, there's a coincidence, isn't it? So we've got Beaver Car and a Beaver Road supply. And my best friend at school was Beaver. His name was Terry Beaver.
Oh, I thought you were going to say was a beaver.
Yeah, no. He was a boy and he used to carry my bag home from school every day.
Damn.
Yeah.
So sweet. I did that. Damn.
Yeah. He had a flat tail. So plans to build a 16-storey block of flats on the site of a former homeware store have finally been approved. And the scheme is dubbed the Ashford Shard. It'll see 207 apartments and 9 townhouses built on the ex-Home Plus site, submitted by Ashford Borough Council's Property Investment Wing, A Better Choice for Property Limited. The striking building will boast a 3 ground floor shops and a top floor restaurant with panoramic views. Well, there we are. I wonder when that'll be built. It'll take quite a while, I would think.
I think they're working on it now, though.
It'd be nice if they had a revolving. Do you remember the post office one that used to revolve?
Yeah, it went round.
Did you ever go there?
Yeah, I went into the restaurant on the top.
Yeah.
In a revolving restaurant.
I used to like that.
Brian Downton of Downton & Alley Financial Company. Great interview with Ivan Misner. Well done, Business Bunker. So thank you for that, Brian. It was a bit of a coup. And I have to say a big thank you to Darren Wheel of... I'm trying to think of his Twitter handle.
We'll have to look him up.
It's TuneIn PR.
Right.
Darren Wheel of TuneIn PR, who arranged that for us. So a huge thank you to Darren for doing that. That's brilliant. And he's been getting me some good guests recently.
Good.
That man.
That's
so
what you need.
Big thank you. Do you know, talking of guests, I think it's probably time to speak to our next one. What do you think?
Yeah, about time. We can have a biscuit then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who we got?
We've got the lovely Jane Knight, who is the founder of Successful Mums, the Career Academy. Let's hear what Jane had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show, Jane Knight. Good afternoon, Jane. Welcome to the show. Jane is from Successful Mums, the Career Academy. Jane, it's a pleasure to see you. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Thanks for having me, Paul.
It's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. Why don't we kick off by you telling the listeners a little bit about Jane and then a little bit about the Successful Mums Career Academy.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That sounds good. We had a few new... I thought so. It was almost going for a rebranding exercise there, Paul.
Yeah, I was trying. Right. I was trying to think of an alternative name for you. But no, I think Successful Mums says it all.
That sounds good. Okay, so a little bit about Jane. Well, I'm a mum of two. I suppose that's where I need to kick off. Mum of two to Daniel and Anna Rose. I've got a business called Successful Mums Career Academy, rolled off the tongue nicely there. And I just love supporting people. I think, Paul, so many people have got a huge amount of potential. So I just think it's really important, I think, for me as a mum to help other mums get to where they want to get to in terms of their capabilities, and to understand when you become a mum, you know, you've got all these additional skills that can enhance your career and business. And just coming back to Jane, I suppose something to mention, so there is some sort of credibility here in terms of what I've gone to do with my business, is I'm actually a teacher and career advisor.
Right.
So my background, just loved school, loved the people, loved helping people, always been into, you know, let me look at your CV, let's see what other things you haven't got in your CV. Because I think, you know, as a nation, we're quite shy. I often look at CVs and there's just so much information that people miss off because they don't think it's important, but it's so valid.
Yeah.
So I trained to become a teacher when I was a bit older. I was probably about 25, and I was teaching at a local college, teaching management.
Right.
I also trained to become a career advisor. And that's the thing, really, Paul, that sort of sparked me in terms of career, because when you become a career advisor, you just learn about so many different types of jobs that are out there.
Yep.
And one thing I really identified when I became a mum myself was the amount of jobs that you can pivot to once you've had children, just because you've worked in one industry for 15, 20, 25 years, you know, you can really switch that and turn that onto another career. But often people don't know what they don't know. They don't know what jobs are out there. So one of the things that I wanted to do, Paul, was sort of share that experience of all the different industries and all the different types of jobs that people can transfer into once they've become a mum.
Absolutely. There's so much to discuss there with all the very valid points that you brought up. When did you launch the Successful Mums Career Academy?
So it was 2013, and I'd had my my children, and I can still remember, Paul, there was a mum in the playground, and she said to me, "Jane, can you help me with my CV? I just feel as though I've got nothing to offer an employer. I've been out of work for, I don't know, I think it was 3 or 4 years." And I looked at her CV, and it just blew me away. This CV was wonderful, and I just thought, if I could afford it at that point, I would have employed her. She was a superstar. Yeah. And when I said that to her, her words back to me, Paul, were, "I'm just a mum." And I can remember, I know how it feels to lose your mojo when you have a baby. I think you gain this beautiful baby, but as a parent, you know, a carer, a mum or a dad, something else happens. You're not the most important person anymore. This little bundle is. And I think that the best way to describe it, particularly from the parents that I've worked with, is you lose your mojo and you don't know how to get that back. And this woman in the playground had lost her mojo. I worked with her. We did some coaching sessions and she found work. She got her mojo back and she recognized that, in fact, being just a mom, you're actually enhancing your skill set. You know, you're learning new things every single day. So it's something that really we need to sort of embrace and recognize it's a journey of lifelong learning.
Absolutely. I mean, you couldn't be more correct if you tried, you know. What you're talking about is what we call in, you know, I own Jobs in Kent. So the recruitment industry is something I know quite a lot about. And we call that transferable skills. And so many people don't understand there's transferable skills. When you say, like, you know, people go, "I've been a mom" or "I've been a housewife." Well, blimey, there's hundreds of skills that go into doing that effectively. You know, just because they don't have business tags doesn't detract from the fact that you have the skill. You know, project management, time management, multitasking, all kinds of administration. All of those are skills that mums and housewives and parents display, which are all skills that are, you know, usable and desirable.
They're what employers are looking for. And in fact, I mean, I've got two children, Paul, and my negotiation skills and my conflict management skills are so much better than they used to be. I can arrange a birthday where all the children are happy, there's no peanuts involved, or the parents are happy, they'll go away with a goodie bag. So my event management is so much better than it used to be. Absolutely. And as for budgeting, I mean, my budgeting skills are so much better around Christmas, around birthdays. So you're absolutely right. And look at networking. I mean, I've met so many wonderful mums at the school gates. You're engaging with people you might not have spoken to before, whether that's a pediatric nurse or whether that's a head teacher or whether that's somebody sort of a specialist. So your network expands, you know, you become more, I think in many ways you lose your mojo, but in many ways you sort of get a new essence of confidence because you're always there for your child. So if something's not quite right, you will, you know, stay to your place and support your child. So, you know, it's a different landscape that you're looking at, but it's one that has got so many benefits. And I mean, I've worked in employer engagement for a long time, and often the skills that employers are looking for, you know, are the job description of a mum. So it's really important that parents recognise that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just want to talk in general terms. I don't want to put words in your mouth. These are my views and opinions. But two things about the whole job market in the UK, and I think you touched on it yourself earlier. We're very reluctant to actually sing our own praises when we put together a CV. And therefore, sadly, I've got over 400,000 CVs. And when I need a laugh, sometimes I read some of them. Unfortunately, a lot of people put CVs together that are just appalling, and they use a standard template. They don't say very much. They don't expand on their actual skill set or their transferable skills. They just put a list of jobs they've had, and that's sad. But more than that, one of the things that bothers me is that in this country, especially, we have very, very poor careers advice infrastructure. Now, partly that's because it's illegal to charge anybody to find a job in this country. But in other countries where it is legal, you see a massive careers industry of people helping people find jobs. For us to do it in this country, we have to be very careful because, you know, there's a legal dividing line between what you're doing. But it's something we don't do very well. And when I was at school, admittedly a long time ago, our careers teacher said the same thing to everyone. I went to a boys' school and we all trooped in and they went, join the army or work in a dockyard.
Yeah.
Off you go. And that was it, you know, that was careers advice. And as you say, the whole world of work has exploded into a myriad of different things you can do. Okay, so you launched Successful Mums back in 2013.
Yeah.
And you did that based on your own experiences as a mum and one, and also the fact that you're a trained teacher and got business and careers experience. So what are the kind of things that you do? What are the kind of people you help? How does it work?
Okay, so how does it work? So we will support women find a job or start a business, and we do this through our accredited training courses.
Right.
So we're very lucky. Over the years, I've written many bids. I've written lots of letters to the council and to the government around this huge gap that I've identified. Mm. And I was really clear with what the problem was. So one of the first things I did, Paul, is I identified the problem and I surveyed probably about 1,000 women on what their biggest challenge is to going back to work. Mm. So I was able to gather all this sort of intel that I could then use, and then I was able to provide the solution. So I created a number of accredited courses that I could then deliver to these individuals to get them into work. So a relatively simple model, but I just needed funding to do that. So for a couple of years I did that for free. So that's a good thing. And you can only do things for free for so long. My husband was saying, Jane, you do need to start paying the rent or the mortgage. So I was very lucky that I got a small pot of funding from the government, and then we haven't looked back. So the delivery that we do is now online training courses, and they cover modules such as support with your CV, LinkedIn, personal branding, how to style yourself. We cover NLP techniques, so that's neuro-linguistic programming, for those of you that aren't familiar with that. It's a fantastic and really fascinating subject. We also cover your pitch. So interestingly, all of the sort of challenges that these women came up with, I made sure every single thing they touched on is in all of our training courses. And that's why we include styling, because some women said that, you know, they put on their interview outfit or they put on their clothes and they no longer fit them, they don't know what to wear, they've lost their confidence. So we use lots of confidence techniques. We also cover things such as your pitch. So one of the questions at interview, often people say, oh, tell me about yourself, Paul, and then often people will just freeze because they don't know what to say. So we will just take them through a really easy peasy four-step process. So it's about your name, your top three transferable skills, your experience, and something about you. So if you've got those four things in your back pocket, or even if you've got them written down, just those four things, keep it simple, and then it's just not so scary when you have to talk about who you are. And remember, employers want to know who you are. So if you do, you know, I don't know, if you do love watching Netflix, a particular documentary, or if you go do the 5K, couch to 5K, or if you, I don't know, jump out of a parachute every now and again, whatever it is you do that is something outside of work, let your employer know, because that just starts to give them a feel about you and your personality. So we cover a lot of topics that will get you work ready and into work. We also invite employers to come along and talk to you. We have mock interviews, and we link our mums as part of this course with employers, and we don't charge the employer. We offer a free jobs board.
Right.
So it's a really sort of seamless approach, and all of our women returners also will gain an accredited qualification as well.
Fantastic.
So that's the sort of back to work. And we do something very similar for women that want to start up their own business as well.
Right. It's a fascinating process, and I love the depth that you cover and all the issues that you cover when you're doing it. I mean, I'm making an assumption here, but one of the hard things for parents going back to work is, of course, you still got school to do, and you still got school runs and all that kind of thing. So I guess a lot of people are looking for flexibility in their work.
Absolutely. And that's what we focus on.
Yeah. But of course, one of the few positive things that have come out of this pandemic is we're now much more attuned to working flexibly than we were before. And I don't know if you see that as a benefit or not.
Definitely, yeah. Well, if we can take a positive, it's many employers have recognised, oh, actually, I can let my team work from home. It hasn't been too bad. And in fact, it saved me on my office space. Yeah. So it's been more profitable. The team, in many cases, we're having feedback, people have been more productive. So there's this real shift, which in turn, I think will have a really positive impact on parents being able to go back to work, because there will be this flex that the employers are giving. Mm. And as well as the support that we provide to mums to find them work or start a business, we're also really lucky that we have funding to work with employers to encourage them to become more flexible.
Right.
And part of that is to look at how they can work more flexibly to ensure their business is more productive, more profitable. And part of that is them taking on a successful mum graduate who has been through our course, and that would be no cost whatsoever. And it's just, I suppose, what these women do bring is the loyalty. Mm. I was going to say maturity, because I mean the majority of our women are probably mid to late 30s up to sort of early 50s, but I suppose, is it maturity? It's almost a perspective on life. So yeah. You know, they've got life experience, so they don't mess out, they get on with the job at hand.
Yeah, and one assumes that quite a few of them have had experience in business before they became mums as well. You know, so they have got job experience and work experience allied to all the other skills that they've acquired over the intervening years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of these women have had what I would call grown-up jobs in the city. They might not want to go back to that life anymore because, you know, they've got children, they want to do the school run, they just want a slightly different pace of life. So we find that lots of employers really benefit because they are, you know, they will take on a mum that has got additional skills. And it's as long as it suits the mum and as long as it suits the employer, it can be a fantastic fit. It can work for both parties, has worked really well with our model too.
Yeah. There's a couple of things I want to talk about before we come to the end of the interview. First and foremost, I want to dwell a little bit on the business startups and the kind of businesses that women are looking to start up and also how we encourage more women to start businesses. I saw some statistic the other day from the FSB Women saying that if as many women started businesses as men, it would add $250 billion to the economy. So what kind of businesses are women starting, and how do we encourage more of them to start more businesses?
Yeah, well, that's a really good point. I've seen an increase, and I think that's been off the back of COVID, where people have been furloughed or made redundant.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I'd say in the last sort of 6 to 9 months, they've almost been sort of pushed into working for themselves because they feel that there's no alternative.
Yeah.
But in fact, that can be another positive, because once they get going, they can see that there is a real demand. So we've seen an increase in businesses. You know, you get the cake makers,
yeah,
and you get people that are crafts, and they are all really sort of valid, as long as there's a sort of platform where they can be sold and a profit to be made.
Yeah.
But we're also seeing more sort of digital and tech people. So there could be people that worked in the city. They might be, whether they are HR, have an HR background or a tech background, and then they're setting up consultancy. So
right,
we are seeing people that's sort of working for themselves in their area of expertise to then support other small businesses, which is, you know, really good because it's mums supporting mums. We're seeing quite a few cookery businesses. So there's quite a few people that are involved in the food industry and want to work around that, particularly being a vegan, gluten-free. So I think there's certain... what would we call it, certain sort of topics that are quite high profile at the moment.
Yeah, we've had
probably about four or five businesses around the green around the environment and staying green or going green.
Yep.
Which has been really good as well. So we take these women through, it's an accredited training program, 12 steps, and we always start with, have you done your research? I mean, people are so keen to set up a website, but you know, Paul, you've been in business long enough. Forget the website for a minute. Who's going to put their hand in their pocket and pay you some money?
Absolutely.
And that's where we start. That's the starting point.
Yeah.
We really encourage research, looking at your friendly competitors, because the chances are somebody else who's doing it well, if they're ahead of you, have a chat. If they've been going 5 years, they've been where you've been, they're probably more than happy to have a chat with you because they know how painful the process can be at times.
Yeah.
And then we take through, you know, you've got the branding, you've got the price points, who are your customers, your marketing strategy, finances, digital. So we will take somebody gently through all of those topics, but I just can't, you know, I'm loud and clear, it's the research. Who are you selling to? Yeah. And you must know them inside out. If it's an individual, you know, what social media platforms are they on? Where do they go on holiday? What paper do they read, if anything? Where do they look? Where do their eyes go every day? Because you need to be in front of them.
Yeah.
And if it's the business, where's that business?
I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely, research is key. I'll tell you a very quick story. Years ago, I worked as an angel investor and people used to come to me to invest money in startups. And I got a phone call one day from a guy who said, I'm really, really desperate. I've invented this thing and I've mortgaged my house for £400,000. I put all of my money into it. I've got a prototype. I'm ready to go, but I need some more investment. So I said, okay, what have you invented? He said, it's a pet feeding bowl. Okay. And what's different about it? He said, well, it's one of these bowls that if you've got a cat or a dog, when they're trying to eat out of a bowl at the moment, they can't get the last bit of food and they end up chasing the bowl around the kitchen. Whereas this bowl stays static so that you can eat all of the food. Okay, that's interesting. And while he's talking to me, I'm Googling it. Yeah. So I said, so, you know, you've developed the prototype, you've had a prototype made, you've spent £400,000doing this. What are you going to retail it for? And he went, well, I'm looking at it about £19. And I said, and how much is it going to cost you to make these bowls? And he said, about £8. And I said, you are aware that you can buy one of these already for £7 in Pets R Us. Anyway, pardon. And I said, you know, they're for sale in, you know, petsrus.co.uk, the online pet store. They actually have those bowls. Do they? And yes. And I my heart broke for the guy. He'd just never done any. He'd had this idea, thought it was brilliant, but he'd never checked the market. He'd never gone and looked and see if anyone had already done it, which they had. And he'd spent all of this money developing something that already existed, you know. So you're absolutely right. Research is crucial. Research is key. And also, I might add, from my point of view, common sense as well. I see a lot of business plans where people go, you know, it's going to cost us £20,000 to start this business. And it's going to cost us, you know, £5,000 a month running costs until we start selling products. Then we'll make £1 million. Yeah, hold on a minute. That ain't going to happen either.
No, I think and I think people can get really excited, which is a good thing. You need that excitement. You need that buzz, but you do need to go further than just having that idea, and also further than asking your friends and your family, because typically, not all the time, but typically your friends and your family love you and they want to say nice things.
Yeah,
so you need to ask strangers, a focus group. That's something else we talk about. It's really important you have a focus group, people you don't know, but they have the sort of characteristics of your customers.
Yeah.
And it's quite easy to find a focus group. Often, you know, whether it's on Facebook or you can, you know, do that through social, and either have some sort of incentive or, you know, often people do that out of just goodwill, and ask the question. You need to know how your customers think, because if you don't, you're just going down a blind alley.
Yeah, absolutely. In the investment industry, we used to call it the three F's. People's research was the three F's: family, friends, and fools.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You know, and you're absolutely right. They'll just tell you what you want to hear. What I loved about what you've just described, though, in terms of helping people start out businesses, is the whole range of things that you do. It's so sensible what you're doing and the things that you're looking at and the way that you're making people address this realistically. You're absolutely right. There's lots of businesses around that are part of the zeitgeist. Here in Kent, we're a huge food and drink producing county. So you see lots of food and drink produced, which means that we get lots of people working in that industry. Nothing wrong with that, because competition's great and, you know, you build one on top of the other. And the county has a reputation for food and drink as well. Mm-hmm. So it does, for me, it doesn't really matter what business you choose, as long as it's a viable business. And I love what you're doing to try and encourage it. Last question to you, Jane. What do you think we can do to encourage more people to start their own businesses?
I think it's visually people seeing other people like them become sort of entrepreneurial and enterprising. So I think by that I mean case studies, because I think people can talk about starting a business, but if you actually see somebody doing that, then I just think it gives you not only the inspiration, but it also gives you the sort of incentive to think, well, if that person can do it, why can't I? And I think that's what people should ask themselves. Why can't I do that?
Yeah.
So I think it's around people, women, business owners, making sure that they, if they're comfortable too, that they are sort of prominent on social media to say, look, this is what I did. And be honest as well, because I say to my mums, it's not easy, and you might have sleepless nights. You might have times when you think, oh, is this right for me? And the other thing, Paul, is if it isn't right for you, that's cool, because, you know, I mean, I know Richard Branson, I think, says you mustn't have a plan B, but Paul, I've got children to feed. So I think you do need to have a plan B.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've worked with women that have started a business. It's just taken up too much of their time and their money, and they've decided to step back and find work. And that is fine, because at least they tried. Because the opposite of success isn't failure. I think the opposite of success is never ever trying. So for these women that tried and it wasn't for them, I admire them for taking those steps. And to be honest, they went and got a job, and they will make a more entrepreneurial employee than they did before. So it's still, you're still winning. But for the people that it is right for, I think it's about once you have got a business, supporting other people, where you can give up your time to mentor other people to get them started, because that's all we need. We need that one step to get started.
Absolutely. Look, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Jane. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. If people want to find out more about Successful Mums Career Academy, what's the best way to do that?
Well, they can look at our website, so successfulmums.co.uk. We're across Insta, Twitter, we're on LinkedIn as well. And can I just say one final word? I'd just like to say to your listeners, some of them might know the lovely Amanda, who I know you know well.
Yep.
And your lovely partner, Amanda, was one of my first successful mums, going back probably, well, goodness, it must be sort of 5, maybe 6 years ago.
Sure.
When she started her business, and it was a pleasure to work with her, and we've kept in touch since. And I know that she's sort of pivoted, and she's quite enterprising, isn't she? So it's been great to see her business grow and see her grow as well. So it's just, there's a link there, isn't there, that she was
absolutely
on
and to be fair, she's still continually sings the praises about the help and support she got when she, you know, because she returned to the UK from abroad, had a young daughter, had no idea what to do, and it really, really did help her and set her off on a path where she achieved some great stuff. But she will, you know, continually say how useful it was, and how helpful and supportive it was that you guys were for her when she started out on the journey. So absolutely. So look, check it out, successfulmums.co.uk. There's a link on the Channel Radio website and the Business Bunker website. Do have a look at that. For the moment, Jane Knight, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was the fantastic Jane Knight, founder and chief executive of Successful Mums, the Career Academy. Tracy Ferguson has tweeted, so needed, a successful mum she's talking about. I've had the same on my workshop. I'm just a dot, dot, dot. To me, a parent is the most important job ever, with so many important transferable and life skills. Absolutely, as we discussed in the interview, people just don't understand the transferable skills that they have and how valuable they can be to employers. So, fantastic. So, if you're a mum out there thinking about returning to work or wishing to start a business or just to get some advice and guidance, then do check out Successful Mum on Twitter and successfulmum.co.uk website. And there is a full link to the website on the Kent Business Radio website.
It's about getting confidence back as well, isn't it?
It is,
you know,
yeah.
When you've been at home and, you know, breastfeeding and doing all that malarkey and getting the kids to school. And and I always remember when I had kids, when they were young, going into meetings with ICI, who I was with then, and then the phone would ring and I'd have to go and collect them from school because one of them was vomiting or something.
Yeah,
it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, it is. Cool. Awards celebrate hard work, success and a great PR for your organisation. If you're a winning business, why not enter the free Maidstone or Ashford Business Awards 2021? You can find out all about it and all the categories on those two areas by going to businessawardskent.co.uk.
What happens in Digital Leaders Week, you may ask? Are you a leader in the UK's digital marketplace for ideas, initiatives and services? And is your organisation or place? If the answer is yes, then there's your chance to demonstrate that. So the 2021 Digital Leaders Week is now opening its doors for partners and speakers. As we unlock the UK's economy, hooray, this is the biggest gathering of people focused on three key questions. Our organisations faced during this accelerated period of digital transformation. And they want to know what works, how to, and where can we get advice. So to get involved, those of you who are driving forward digital transformation in the UK can be sharing the best practice, showcasing your services, and offering solutions that are practical and real. The date for this is the 14th to the 18th of June, so it's a diary date. And you can go to www.digileaders.com/week, and as usual, all details will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk after the show.
Fantastic. And there's a 2-day online adult mental health first aid course. What's mental health first aid, you ask? Well, it's an internationally recognised training course designed to teach people how to spot the signs and symptoms of mental ill health and provide help on a first aid basis. It won't teach you to be a therapist, but just like physical first aid, it will teach you to listen, reassure and respond in a crisis. It's a 2-day course and currently it's being held on Zoom. After completing this 2-day course, it qualifies the learner as an adult mental health first aider. The dates that it's taking place are Thursday the 24th of June and Friday the 25th of June from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. via Zoom. You can find out all about it by dropping Bronwyn an email. Bronwyn Rich is the person behind this, and you can email her. It's a bit of a complicated email address, but it's info@this-way-up-well-being.co.uk. So it's this way up wellbeing, all hyphenated, .co.uk. info@thiswayupwellbeing.co.uk. Check it out. A really interesting course.
And Shepherd Neame have helped with restoration of an old oyster yawl boat in Whitstable.
I saw that. It's like the boats that they have on the oyster beer, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course, oysters are famous in Whitstable, where I live. And I've partaken of many. It's an £80,000 restoration of a dilapidated oyster yawl in Whitstable Harbour, and it's receiving the helping hand from historic Kent brewer Shepherd Neame. The Faversham-based pub company is making a financial contribution to the delicate restoration project as they sponsor the once thriving boat. It's named the Gamecock, and it's 114-year-old vessel is recognised for its great historical importance in the town's famous fishing industry. It's now being given a new lease of life ahead of it being reintroduced to the water. And the vessel of the same design is the same design as a 42-foot boat, and it's the logo of Shepherd Neame's popular Whitstable Bay beer range, which I've partaken. And the Gamecock also shares its history with the brewer due to the fact it was built in Island Wall, just yards from the Smack Inn, a pub run by the Faversham firm. So it's a really important part of Kent heritage, but it has a special connection to Shepherd Neame, as this type of oyster yawl helped inspire the design for the Whitstable Bay range.
Blimey. I had a tweet from the lovely Amanda Flanders, and she says it was really great being one of Jane Knight's successful mums courses just over 5 years ago now. It certainly helped me as I started my business. Absolutely. And Tracy Ferguson says, I agree that seeing people who have made a small business out of their skills and resources is inspiring, as long as the honesty is there too. Doing this through a case study is great. Then I think the phrase I would choose is, how can I do that? Absolutely.
Good one.
And Tracy goes on to say she really enjoyed the interview with Jane, a successful mum. Glad she's turned her passion into something so useful and rewarding.
Neame's Fruit Crisps. Oh, they've been on the Scoff and Quaff show years ago, absolutely years ago. So they have partnered with Pink Lady Apples to launch a new flavour of crisps. They do fruit crisps, and they're based on the Trinity Trading Estate in Sittingbourne, and they've signed an exclusive agreement with one of the biggest brands in fruit to turn its apples into a great tasting snack. And it's designed as a healthy option for adults and children on the move. This is one of your five a day, and the firm hopes to double the sales of the Pink Lady apple variety of crisps over the next 12 months by working with Pink Lady. And it's made in the Sittingbourne factory, and the company said it's gently air dries the apple slices to achieve the perfect combination of natural goodness, authentic taste and crunchiness. Nims, it's N-I-M, Nimisha. And they are delicious.
Absolutely. But when you keep saying Pink Ladies, I keep thinking of Grease.
Grease?
Yeah. The film. Grease. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The girls.
The girls were Pink Ladies.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that film for an awful long time.
No, nor have I.
Tell me why.
But they were the Pink Ladies.
Pink Ladies. Yeah. And the Jets, weren't they, or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I'm thinking of apples.
Yeah, well, you would.
Pink apples.
Construction Live, Thursday the 6th of May, 12:30 to 2 p.m. It's a new event programme designed to provide attendees from the architect, engineer and construction industry. You've given me your froggy throat now.
Yeah.
With relevant and practical content presented in an interesting and interactive format. And many online events put in place in response to the restrictions are limited in their appeal and uninteresting in the way they're presented. Presenters are remote and the ability for attendees to engage with them is limited. Our approach is quite different and proven to be more informative and closer to the live experience. Construction Live will emulate a TV magazine format that combines entertaining presentation with conversation and ultimately direct engagement with the audience. Content presenters will initially join a brief conversation with the hosts on the subject before giving their presentation. There'll be a 10 to 15 minute session afterwards for Q&As, and each presenter will host a breakout room. You can find out more about this event by going to constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk.
I think your problem is you haven't had enough ginger biscuits.
Yeah.
Not even one.
I haven't had any.
No. There's 62. You have a mute button there, you know. You taught me about mute buttons.
Yeah, yeah.
You can never get to them in time, though, can you? £62,000 renovation of a pub garden in Canterbury has seen the venue's outdoor seating jump from a little more than 50 to 280. Well done, guys. It's an impressive-looking refurbishment of the Dolphin.
It's St Radigan's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
great names, aren't they, in Canterbury, mm. St. Radigan's. Charles Smythe, who also runs the Old City Bar, the Black Griffin, I was going to say the Grack Bliffin then, Seven Stars and the Thomas Beckett, took on the premises last March. He's pumped thousands of pounds into redesigning the massive garden at St. Radigan's venue and is now beginning to at last reap the reward. So that's one to visit. That's the Dolphin in St. Radigan's.
Fantastic. The Kenwood Trust, the e-commerce element of Kenwood Place website has now gone live, allowing the public to book in experiences or purchase our merchandise directly with us. You can view the main website by going to kenwoodplace.co.uk or the specific shop page by going to kenwoodplace.co.uk/shop. And you can go in there and you can book your visits, you can book your frisbee golf, you can book your archery, and you can book your alpaca walks.
Oh, I'd love that. Well, do you actually trot along with one?
Yeah, you do.
Have them on a lead?
Yeah, yeah, no. You get a saddle and you ride it.
You don't?
No, you don't.
No, they're too small, aren't they? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They make great socks, though. I've got some purple alpaca socks.
Yeah. Well, don't tell them that when you're taking them for a walk. I'm going to make socks out of you.
Well, you only shear them, don't you? I mean, they're probably true. Relieved in the summer.
Yeah, true. Go on, what you got?
No, I've read all mine.
You've done yours, have you?
Extremely diligent today.
Okay, Kent County Council and Kent and Victor Chamber, along with counterparts in Essex, Medway and East Sussex, have secured funding from the South East Local Enterprise Partnership for a new project called SEED, South East Export Development. The project will consist of a series of virtual export readiness sessions and virtual trade missions and free activities to help companies to access new international markets. The project will focus on the following sectors and markets: agri-food in the US, Ireland and Hong Kong, life sciences in the Middle East and Southeast Asia, digital and creative in the US and Canada. We're currently accepting expressions of interest from businesses interested in receiving free support from the project. You can find out all about it by going to kentinternationalbusiness.co.uk/seed, S-E-E-D. So if you're in any of those, agri-food, life sciences, digital and creative, and you'd like free help expanding into international markets, kentinternationalbusiness.co.uk/seed is your place of choice.
Fabulous. We do like some free help on the show, don't we?
Absolutely. I've got to do all this reading now, and you're just throwing bits of paper at me.
I can just eat biscuits.
Here's a quick update on the South East Construction Expo. The expo will be live at the South of England Events Centre, that's at Ardingly, on the 21st of October 2021. But because we have the technology, we are also going to be live streaming the event. What does this mean? If you're exhibiting, you will, in addition to your stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth, totally free, so loads more construction businesses can see your products and services. If you're a visitor, you'll have fantastic networking opportunities both live at the expo and by visiting our virtual networking room. This is where you can connect to both virtual and live attendees. The speaker sessions will be streamed live. If you're attending or virtually attending and miss any of the speakers, the live recordings will be available afterwards. The South East Construction Expo is where you find out about major projects and investment opportunities, hear from industry-focused speakers sharing high-value content. There's a free Meet the Buyer with top UK construction companies. There's live demos of great new innovative products. There's how to profit from the many new ways of modern construction and work together forever, couldn't you?
I would love to rant. You know, the older I get, the more I wish to rant.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm afraid. What else you got?
Yeah, I've got loads of stuff. Me, it's you that's given up working.
Yeah.
Take part and make Maidstone Borough bloom. For the first time ever, Maidstone Borough Council is launching a Maidstone Borough in Bloom competition. And it's inviting anyone who enjoys creating beautiful gardens or pots to enter. Working with Cooling's Garden Centre in Bearstead, the competition has opened and will continue to be open for entries until Monday the 5th of July. Judging will take place during the last 2 weeks of July and the awards ceremony will be held in September. There are three categories: residential, commercial and community. And any household entering will be given a, this is just for an entry, you don't even have to win, you get a £5 voucher to spend at Coolings Garden Centre.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, a trophy will be awarded for the winner and runner-up in each category. All winners in each category will also receive a prize of £25 in Coolings gift vouchers, as well as two adult annual tickets, and not just one-off, two adult annual tickets to Leeds Castle. So the residential categories are best front garden, best bank garden, best planted pot, trough or hanging basket,
ooh,
best vegetable garden or allotment, and best pollinators garden. The commercial categories are best commercial garden and best commercial planted pot, trough or hanging basket. And the community categories are best community environmentally garden and best community or ornamental garden. To enter, please go complete a Coolings Garden Centre entry form by going to the council website maidstone.gov.uk/Maidstone Borough in Bloom. That's maidstone.gov.uk/Maidstone Borough in Bloom.
That sounds really fun. I do need some new pots, and I've got, I need about four new pots and loads of soil and stuff.
Right.
For my garden.
I've been growing cacti recently.
Have you?
Yeah.
They're good. What, inside or outside?
Inside.
Okay, they're good, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, they don't really need much, do they?
No, they don't. And they don't take up much room. And then I just...
Well, they would if it was a big one.
Yeah, no. Ones. Well, let me just say what I was going to say. I just repotted them all into slightly bigger pots, and all of a sudden they went vroom, and they all grew again.
Oh, really? Yeah, so they were root bound.
Yeah, yeah. So they were root bound. That's what they were. And now I put them in bigger pots. They're massive.
So you'll have to move out soon.
Yeah, yeah. They're taking over the room.
Could be a bit
of
they're
like triffids.
Prickly situation.
Yeah.
I'm quite good with the orchids. I'm getting into orchids.
Right.
They don't need a lot of work.
Okay.
Don't like water too much.
There's a new £20 million SME Brexit support fund that can help small businesses with changes to trade rules with the EU through providing up to £2,000 to help with training or professional advice. If your business is up to 500 employees and no more than 100 million annual turnover, small business, you can click through to get support and some funding. If you go to customersintermediarygrant.co.uk, customersintermediarygrant.co.uk/SME Brexit. So check that out if you need help and some funding to help you trade with the EU.
Which we all need.
Mm-hmm.
We all need. Yeah. I didn't get any hassle today coming in, but there's a lot of building work going on in Nashford, isn't there?
Oh, sort of tons and tons.
And loads of roadworks everywhere, I found.
Yep,
well, they don't seem to be doing much, but it's lots of cones.
They set up cones and traffic lights, and then they go away. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? We've reached the end of another show.
Have we?
We've made it. Without her passing away.
A little bit of bulbous oil helps.
Oh, right, okay.
She's only my sinuses.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. I thought it was Vic that you were snuffing up there.
No, bulbous oil.
Yeah.
And I flick it around in the shower and I get the steam. It's really good.
Oh, right, cool.
Just because of my AstraZeneca jab, all of this.
Yeah,
6 weeks.
Okay, no. Anyway, we'll be back with another show next week.
And
thank you
sympathy.
To our two fantastic guests, Dr. Ivan Meisner, founder and chief visionary officer of BNI, and the lovely Jane Knight, founder of Successful Mums Career Academy. Thank you to everybody that tweeted and emailed. Thank you to the lovely Jules Serkin. We'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.